Good afternoon and welcome to the joyous journey, or should I say money matters, because that's what we got going on today. The time currently is 3:07 p.m. and you're listening in to 106.3 AFM Bahrain, The Eagle. We have a very special person with us today, often imitated, never duplicated, Patrick Underwood, the personal financial manager of NSA Bahrain. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I think it's wonderful that we're going to be able to talk about we're going to talk about a joyous financial journey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not just the joyous journey of life, but finances are part of that. It's the world we live in. So yeah, I figure we'll look at some stuff today about kind of like just money language.
Definitely.
Of making sure that if we're trying to get some education, trying to get some stuff in line, that we understand what other people are talking about. Mm-hmm. And like we had kind of done offline, I mean, the acronyms, the terms, we want to know what they mean. And I think it's like I had told you earlier, I think sometimes I just take it for granted because we talk in some of these all the time anyway.
Yeah.
That we're like, oh, yeah, it's no big deal. But then I just did AOB today. Well, what is AOB, number one? But here you got area orientation brief with all these new people. And somebody asked me what two acronyms were, and it was just like life, like going into it. I just sit there and go, yeah, they didn't actually know what I was talking about. And so, yeah, I figured we'd just cover some stuff. And of course, I think we do a pretty good job of making sure that people understand what we're saying. I think we do a pretty good job of not, we don't go, you know, advanced degree over here with doctorate in finance or something like that. We keep it at a good level, but at the same time, just making sure that we're using terms that everybody understands.
Definitely. And we have that question of the day as well before we get into this money talk. So if you were to live in any European country for its food, which one would you pick?
Yeah, that's tough. I will say, I would probably, honestly, this is going to sound weird, I would pick Germany.
I would too.
So I love German food, but the thing that I like about the Germans is that they do other people's food well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to have, like I lived in a village that had like maybe 10,000 people in it, and we had a Chinese restaurant, and everybody would drive like forever to come to it. We had a great Thai restaurant. We had a fantastic Greek restaurant, Turkish food. You know, food that was from neighboring countries, other places, and people would come to the village just for that food because it was good.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, if I can't live in the country or I want the other food, what country could like copycat it really well? Germany. Because Italians don't do that. Yep. Italians make really good Italian food wherever you're at, but they don't say, oh, I really want to, let's give you a good schnitzel. Mm-hmm. Like they don't do that, or French stuff. They don't want that either.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I mean, I love, biggest reason, schnitzel.
Yeah.
I was at this really good German spot when I was in Maryland. My family came to visit me. We went to some German spot. I never even heard of it. It's called like the Red Stern.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. They had this like, so it was a schnitzel, pork schnitzel with a Jaeger sauce.
Mm, yes.
And it was like a gravy kind of sauce. Mm. And then it got served with like a red cabbage. Like a red cabbage with like apples and bacon. It was like a
We're going to go to commercial and get some food and just make this happen.
It was so good.
We just sidetracked the show with good food right there.
The thrill of variety.
I love the music. They play all different types.
We like the wide variety.
Without the agony of repeat. AFN The Eagle.
We're here with Mr. Patrick Underwood, the personal financial manager of NSA Bahrain. We're getting ready to talk to you about some simple terminology, you know, the basic stuff right away. I mean, especially you'll hear it a lot around base, especially here. And the first one we'll start with is PFM.
Right. So there is there's kind of like two PFMs. There's the personal financial manager, which is like what we have in our office. Mm-hmm. And then there's the Navy PFM, which is the Navy Personal Financial Management Program. And so that Navy PFM, the reason that it's important is because it is like the overarching thing that connects everybody financially. So we've got basically a program or a roadmap. That's mm-hmm. the easiest way if you want to visualize it, that PFM, that the Navy Personal Financial Management Program puts out. and it is to mirror basically the career of Navy personnel. So a lot of it is going to build bridges, like what we always talk about, like, okay, here's something that's happening now, mm-hmm. but how does that connect to the civilian world? And so there's always going to be those bridges, but the personal financial management program is something that's like holistic. And so there's like these little flyers that we have. It's literally got a car on a road, and it talks about all these milestones that happen in your career or that could happen, because some of what we cover are like marriage and divorce, so that hasn't happened to you, so that doesn't apply. Yep. But it's still there if somebody needs it. And so we call those touch points, and the people that kind of offer those are not just like a PFM in our office, they're also CFSs. Well, there's another acronym. What the heck is that for, right? So they are command financial specialists. So the command is whatever command they are in, and then they are financial specialists because they go through training, and that training gives them some good reference background tools to offer to the command, their command. Now they can kind of cross over and help into other commands, because especially out in certain areas, that's like just the team, right? Mm-hmm. One team, one fight. Everybody's going to work together on that one. But the fact is that now you got PFMs that have CFSs, and where do they get trained?
Yeah.
FFSC. And there's another. It's like, all right, here we go. So now we got Fleet and Family Support Center that is going to train CFSs to be a part of the PFM.
Yeah.
The Navy PFM. And so, again, three kind of basic acronyms that you're really only going to hear in our area. So there are CFSs in other branches, so we have trained them here. But that being said, the program is holistic, so it is for DOD personnel. But we focus on our Navy-specific program. Three easy acronyms that are just going to give us some easy understanding about what's going on financially.
Yeah, and actually Fleet and Family Sports Center, if you ever heard about it, I mean, they got everything. If they don't got it, they can point you in the right direction, at least. I mean, their resources are pretty much unlimited, especially here on Bahrain. I mean, we're not at the biggest base, so it's pretty tight community, I feel like, and Fleet and Family is at the heart of it. You know, they have financial needs with Mr. Patrick, and they also have therapists, and we also have Military One Source, which is another great reference point. But you're never alone out there, and if you ever feel like you need any tips, any go-to options, Fleet and Family is always going to be there with the door open,
definitely,
to help and support you.
Short on wind, long on music. AFN the Eagle.
We're here still with Mr. Patrick Underwood. We're getting ready to talk about some more terminology. We just went over some of the basics, Fleet and Family, CFSs, and the PFMs. Now, all those are very important, but we also have this big thing in the military, and it's in every branch. You got the TSP. And what does that exactly stand for?
Well, the cool thing is it's not just the military, but it's like for government service workers, but it is the Thrift Savings Plan. So kind of ironically, it actually started on the civilian side and then it got pushed to the active duty side.
Wow.
And it gave active duty personnel the opportunity to choose where their money's going. So that way, when they're having some kind of a retirement, they can say, hey, I want to be a little bit more aggressive, or I'm a little bit more conservative, or somewhere in between. And that's what the Thrift Savings Plan does, is it's got five what I call like legacy accounts. So those are like the ones that have been around for a long time. And then it's got a new fund called the L Fund. So that's like the life fund that's in there.
Yeah.
And somebody like you, who is like pretty much starting out, can say, hey, I'm kind of a little bit more set it and forget it. I don't want to know, like, stocks scare me, or like, this is too crazy, like, it's too up and down. How do I know? And that's like what that L Fund does, is that L Fund is just like a time of when you want the money. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you set that retirement date, and then it gets assertive, and then it works its way to being conservative. And so you don't have to worry about an I Fund, an S Fund, a C Fund, or whatever. You're just like, bro, just tell me my money's safe, and then you just put it in there. So you got different options of how you can work your thrift savings plan.
So my with mine, I think like 20%. I have 10% going into a Roth IRA.
Mm-hmm, right.
And then another 10% going into a normal IRA.
Traditional. Yeah, right.
Traditional. And I mean, I don't know how to view it.
Right.
How do I get there and view it and make sure I can check, like, if I want to go aggressive or not so aggressive?
Exactly. Like, where you have things allocated is what it's called. So basically where you've picked for your money to go, and you can change it. So that's a good thing. So for most of us that do the world every day, we've got a phone.
Yeah.
And so conveniently, TSP has a TSP app. And so I tell all the guys, like CFSs, in classes that we teach, that if you are doing banking on your phone, then you're the one that loses for not having that app, because yeah. It's your money. So you'll have to set it up initially, two-factor authentication and that password protected and everything like that. But once you get that thing set up, you can access your account anytime you want to.
That's nice.
And then the great thing for somebody like you is that a lot of times people sit there and think, like, okay, what happens to my money? Because you're not married, don't have a dependence yet. And you have to go in there and set what's called a beneficiary. And so mm-hmm. your beneficiary is, I mean, if you don't have one, then I can tell you how to spell my name correctly and you can put me on there. But the fact is that's whoever is not just going to get your money, but will do with it whatever you kind of want them to do, right? So it's important that that kind of stuff is taken care of. And that's what you can do real easy on your TSP app. And you can also go to tsp.gov, and that's a great place for more information about it. Mm-hmm. So like what you were talking about with the different funds, how do I know where I want to put my money? They will literally go on there and you can find basically what the rate of return has been for how many ever years you want to go back. So the past year, 2 years, like pre-COVID, 5, 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
And you can see kind of how assertive or how conservative those things are, and then how that fits into your lifestyle.
Yeah, my I do have a financial manager, or is that the right word?
Yeah, could be. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like he'll call me every now and then to like check up on me and go over everything on my phone. He lives in Hawaii though,
right?
So it's like time zones are
exactly
completely
right.
messed up. But every time he calls, I try my best to get there. And he'll just talk to me about like what's going on, what's new in the stocks and everything like right. that. And I have no idea what he's talking about.
Exactly.
Not a clue. I'm just like, yep.
And that's part of why we learn, right? Is so that we can understand, again, not just the terminology, but what everybody's talking about and then what that means. And you already brought up IRA. So you said it's going into a Roth or traditional. So that IRA is individual retirement account. Yeah. So that just means on top of where your TSP can be allocated to, where you can pick where it's going to go, then you've got that Roth side, and that is structured in a different tax area than what your traditional will be.
What would you prefer?
So
if someone's starting out, I should say.
Yeah, so
there are benefits.
There's benefits to both of them, but the big benefit for being here in Bahrain for active duty service members is the fact that they are in a tax-free area. So with Roth, you pay taxes up front mm-hmm. and you don't pay them when the money is coming out. So when that disbursement happens, there are no taxes applied. Whereas with traditional, it's the opposite. You're not paying taxes up front, but you're going to pay it when it's dispersed. And so especially if you are going to have an income that's going to be a little bigger, that's what the expectation is, then you could afford to pay those taxes then. Whereas now you pay those taxes up front, but our active duty service members who are here don't have that challenge. And so basically there's no taxes up front, no taxes in the back end. So a Roth is a fantastic option for a place like this.
Yeah.
That also means that you're going to be, I want you to feel obligated to pay attention to your money so that when you do leave this area, that you're going to say, all right, now I do need to understand how much money I'm going to put in each one.
Yeah. Do taxes ever obviously tax increases mm-hmm. and decreases, whatever you want to, with inflation, but
correct.
Taking that money out, say later in like 40 years of the traditional, could the tax be higher then than it is now to take it out?
So that's part of what you're kind of concerned with, is if that's going to shift your tax bracket, right? Mm-hmm. So if it bumps you up. But the fact is too, is that especially when you start going to pay those taxes, are you going to be able to need the money or just basically put that money to a different source. Like mm-hmm. you may not pay those taxes because you're going to be needing to pay bills. And so as you're looking and seeing like where your cost is at different times, that's why you have to pay attention. It's all right to have kind of a set it and forget it, but you do have to understand the different changes in your life. And that goes back to what we talked about earlier with the CFSs at those different milestones. We call them touch points. At different times in your life, you want to make sure that you just sit down and have a good financial awareness of what your current situation is. And that's going to help you make those decisions.
Today's best variety. Because you stay young by believing in the future, not holding on to the past. AFN the Eagle.
We're still here with Mr. Patrick Underwood. We just talked about the TSP, what it means, the thrift savings plan, if you didn't know, if you weren't here yet. We're just getting ready to talk more about finances, more terminology, and what you got.
Yeah, I think like as you're looking at TSP, that's something that will carry over with you wherever you're at. So your TSP, no matter if you're active duty here in Bahrain or if you get the blessing of getting stationed in Hawaii, or I'm just saying, fantastic place.
I'd love to be in Hawaii.
Yeah, I'm just saying, best place ever. But that fact of it could be Norfolk, could be anywhere you're at, your TSP, as long as you are basically, you've got the same employer, you're going to have that same retirement.
Yeah.
And so as active duty personnel, that will follow you everywhere you go. And we talked about a little bit offline in the fact that how your TSP is in sectioned in Roth or traditional, you know, you have a cap, a limit in how much you can put into your Roth. And so you may like hit that ceiling and then say, well, what are my other opportunities of how I'm going to invest? And just save, because some people, they'll be afraid of the stock market and they'll say, I want something a little bit more conservative. But now I'm over here in Bahrain, like, how do I go and actually get other stuff? So we have other options in the government, like you can get T-bills, like bonds and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then you say, yeah, but that's like, I don't know, we're so far away. And so the great thing about being here is we have SDP, the savings deposit plan, or some people call it the desert savings plan.
Yeah.
And the great thing about that is it's only for this AOR. So you can't do this in Mayport or San Diego, or even for as fantastic a place as Honolulu is, you cannot do it there. So Hawaii's fantastic, but it does not have the desert savings plan. So that savings deposit plan gives you a guaranteed rate of return of 10%. Mm. So that is a good rate of return. Now, it's not compounding, so it's called simple interest. It's going to pay you 2.5 every quarter, but you can have that $10,000. That's the limit that you can put in there. So you can't just be like, I'm going to sell my house and put everything into the savings deposit plan because it's a guaranteed 10%. It is capped at $10,000. However, you can only do it here. And so that limitation of it being here is an advantage. It's another great reason that when you come out here, you've got a great place to put your savings. And so knowing that, all you have to do is be in this area for 30 days. And once you're here for 30 days, you can start to put that money in there.
Where is it?
So you'll go through, you won't have one CPPA, but your admin can help. And for you, I mean, it's literally right around the corner at the cash cage.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah. So it's great where a lot of people would know it because it's where the ID lab used to be. Mm-hmm. So now the ID lab moved to 265. But you have that RSC, so our region pay office is there. And the ID lab, of course, now it's moved, but they've got what's called the cash cage. And you can actually go there and process everything, or you can do it through your CPPA in your command. And it really is like two pieces of paper, and it's not even very much, but it just gives them the authorization to make those financial transfers. And yeah, the great thing is that it'll keep paying you for 3 months after you leave here. So some people are like, man, I missed my first 30 days. Like, that's messed up, dude. That's actually pretty cool, because they're going to give you those 30 days back and plus you 60. So even after you leave the AOR, you're going to have that opportunity to keep gaining on that money. So again, you can't just put unlimited funds in there, but at least you've got that 10% return on that $10,000. And that guarantee is very rare in finance that you can get that and know that you're going to get that return back.
How often is, it's a weird question, but like how often does interest is like every month?
So for that, it's paid out quarterly. So it's done in those 3 month sectors.
Okay.
And then you want to make sure that you've got, you don't exceed that $10,000 because you're only going to gain the interest on there. And the great thing about that is that all of these questions, you can go down and they'll answer them all for you. So when you're looking at like your specific, how you're going to withdraw funds or what your timeline is and all of that kind of stuff, because then people also have that kind of false notion that it has to be in there for a year too. It doesn't have to exist that long. People, they'll find out about it late and they're saying, oh, I only got 6 months. Well, it's up to you whether or not you want to take that opportunity and gain. You can, but that's going to be totally up to you. But it is not compounding. So it's not going to take that interest and then keep rolling that over every month and gain interest on the interest that it's paying. So yeah, it's simple interest that's on there, but it's still a great deal in comparison to just where your money is usually going to sit.
We play the best music. We have to. We have the best listeners. AFN the Eagle.
We're still here with Mr. Patrick Underwood, still talking about, you know, TSPs, Roth IRAs, all the important information that you need to know to be financially healthy and ready. And as you know, you might not know, I am 21, very young still in my young life, and I still have a house to buy at some point in my life.
I mean, that's a goal for a lot of people.
Yep.
So knowing, so that's that brings up kind of like another point on top of that is we're all going to have different kinds of goals. So for most people that are like near your age or getting ready, especially leaving here, then the next thing they're probably going to buy is like a car. And so how they're going to do that, they want to make sure they're specific with that goal. But then the next big thing, like you had just said, like, hey, I'm going to buy a house. Some people don't even have it on the horizon. And so that's another thing that when we're talking about all this is this helps us put our priorities together financially. And really, it's just setting a goal. And so knowing where our target is means that we can hit that target. Mm-hmm. A lot of people just, they're like, yeah, you know, it's the difference between a goal and a dream. The difference is a game plan. So you can dream all you want, which is fantastic. And I'm 100% supportive of that. But in order to make those dreams come true, you put a game plan together and you set those goals. And so some people, their goal isn't a house yet, but for you, you could just be rolling in it deep and say like, yep, I want that house. And knowing that, you've got to have preparation for it. So there's a couple of acronyms when it comes to financing that I thought we could talk about and then it'd give you the learning lesson leg up to be ready to buy the house. Maybe not next week, but you never know.
Yeah.
So there's different ways that you're going to pay for that house. And then the first way of financing that is just your traditional, which is a way that you just basically say whatever the cost of the house is, 20% is what you have to have up front as the down payment. And then you say, there it is. And then the bank or wherever is going to finance the rest of that. But then that can be a whole lot of money, especially in this day and age.
Yeah, definitely.
So you're like, hey, how do I get some help with that? So that brings me to the next acronym we'll talk about, which is FHA. So there's a traditional mortgage and then there's an FHA, and the FHA stands for the Federal Housing Authority. And that means that the government is going to help back your loan so that you got a little bit of help there. And then you only have to have 5% down. So that is only a quarter of what you had the first time, right? So that's not a bad gig. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, there's going to be like what people may say, strings attached. There's going to be some things that you're going to have to make sure you do. They will want to have mortgage insurance on that. So making sure you can pay for it. But that's going to be your 5% down and you're going to be backed by it. And then you say, but 5% is still, that's still a lot of money.
It is.
So how do I get a house? And that's when we come to the next acronym, which is a group that some people are kind of familiar with after active duty service, usually not in it. And that's the VA. Okay. So the VA, so like you've heard of it, right?
Yes.
But what does the VA do?
Don't know.
There you go. That's the whole thing. So that is the Veterans Administration. Because technically, you're not a veteran. You're still active duty right now, right? And we always think of veterans as like old vintage dudes that are down the road. But what you have to understand is that the VA gives the opportunity for people with basically a no down approval. Now, you still have to be financially sound and everything like that, but the program was actually started coming out of World War II. So it was four guys that had basically their earning years that they would have been making money. They were out, like you, active duty service, protecting and defending. And so how do we help them out? And that's what the VA did, was they came up with the VA home loan. And that VA home loan, it doesn't, you know, take your mortgage payments away. You still got to pay that mortgage. Yeah. But instead of having all that down up front and then not being able to pay it, they help you out, and then you're able to make your monthly payments.
Definitely. I've never really heard about the VA. I know we have a little like spot about them.
Right.
But is there like an office or anything like that around here?
So we don't have like a boots on the ground, somebody in person that's mm-hmm. here with us, but we've got fantastic support from our region. So there's actually a couple of people that are up there, and they will actually take care of you through phone, even set up a virtual meeting to take care of all of your questions.
Number one, and built to stay that way. AFN, the Eagle.
We're here with Mr. Patrick Underwood. Just getting ready to wrap the show up here pretty soon. Any closing remarks you'd like to add?
Well, I think, you know, we've been talking about our acronyms, terms yeah. for finances, and we started in the very beginning with the PFM. And a big key component for that is, or are, the CFSs. Mm-hmm. And so, not this week we're in now, but next week we're actually going to be having CFS training. So that is, it's a collateral that you have to carry. So it's not, you just show up and then do whatever.
Yep.
There's some expectations for that, of course. And so, yeah, you've got to get like special leave chit just to get in there, and some prereqs and stuff like that. So there are some requirements in order just to hold the position, but we do want to make sure that everybody's aware that that's mm-hmm. available. If they can't make the class now, we'll do another one in a couple of months. But just the opportunity to help the commands out, have those resources that are there. So we're going to do that for sure. It'll be we're not full yet, but we're going to have a good solid class next week. And
yeah, they also look very good on your on performance reviews.
It doesn't evals. Hurt on the eval. It
not
doesn't.
At all.
There's for sure. I haven't really checked the list so far this year, but last year during chief season, we had 9 CFSs were pushed through. So that obviously didn't hurt them. That's a positive, right?
We can't say either, that's but it looks right. good for you.
Well, and the thing is, too, is that there's expectations, right? And so part of what makes that eval work is the fact that you are actually going to execute, you're going to follow through with that collateral,
yep.
and that you're going to do a good job. And so if you're going to make that commitment to your command. Now, it does carry over to wherever you go, right? So if you're going to leave out of here, you can be a CFS in another command. They are going to have to write you a letter of designation to carry that over. But that being said, we want to make sure that you've got that opportunity for sure. Now, another group that I told you I wanted to make sure I got in were the ombudsman. This is Ombudsman Appreciation Month. And this September, you'll see some signs around and stuff like that. But they're a fantastic group, and they're all volunteers. Nobody gets paid for that, right? And so there are definitely some commands that need ombudsman. They are the conduit, the connection between the command and the dependents, families, sailors. So they're a fantastic resource. They're like the fingers of Fleet and Family. So they take it like directly there. They're trained. Tonight they've got an assembly meeting, and they're going to go through training on the family advocacy program. So again, those guys, shout them out. They're totally underrated. They are not people that go and look for attention. They're volunteers, great people connection. But just like those CFSs, they help out a lot of people. They bring resources to them, including finances.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for coming on today for this segment of Money Matters. Hope everyone has learned something, because I have definitely. I mean, I don't know what I'd do if I wasn't here right now. And not to mention, so in about 4 minutes or so, we've got your news and sports highlights from the States. And make sure to be here for the next part of my show, because I'll be talking about and getting into what some of the best German dishes are throughout the country of Germany. Okay, there's some dishes I've never even heard of, but they look amazing.